This evening, if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 29, I want to begin at verse 31, and we're going to be going through chapter 30, verse 24. And it's going to be an overview of these verses because they all tie together, and we're going to read this whole verse so you get the full context of what's transpiring, and then I'm going to be talking to you about it. This is Jacob's children. The family of Jacob, as Jacob begins to, his family begins to grow. You remember last Wednesday night we saw the marriage of Jacob marrying two sisters, thinking he was marrying the younger sister and finding out he had indeed married the older sister, and then having to work an additional 7 years to be able to marry Rachel, the younger. So he now has two wives and their sisters, Leah and Rachel, the daughters of Laban. And let's begin at chapter 29, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." And she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, "Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again, and bare a son. And she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived, and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan." And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. And Leah saw that she had left bearing, and she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "The troop cometh." And she called his name Gad. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God hath endured me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us this evening through your word and help us to understand from the lesson that we're studying tonight things that we need to learn. And Father, may your spirit guide and direct us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is quite a mess as you look at this. Definitely not God's plan for the family. As you look at the events that transpired, there's some interesting things. Going back to when Jacob first came to Haran and first saw Rachel, the scriptures tell us that Rachel was a beautiful woman. She had beautiful eyes. She had beautiful form. In other words, to look at her, she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Her sister, on the other hand, was more plain. But as you look and read the account between these two sisters, there's an interesting thing that you see between them. The one who was beautiful on the outside struggled spiritually on the inside. The one who was plain on the outside has all the appearances of having a much deeper relationship with the Lord on the inside. And sometimes God wants us as his children to remember that we are to look with different eyes than the world. Jacob needed to learn some lessons, and he learned them the hard way in this whole situation with these two sisters and what was transpiring here. Now, a lot of times people look at this and we come into this and thinking, well, they came and Laban was Rebekah's sister. Laban would have been the nephew of Abraham, and Abraham, remember, had sent his servant back to find Rebekah for Isaac, because he knew that his family back there had a knowledge of God, where the Canaanites had totally lost their understanding of the Lord. And so sometimes we come and we probably think of Laban as being this spiritual godly man, and he raised these spiritual godly girls, but that isn't necessarily the case. As we get later into the text, we're going to find out that wasn't the case at all with as far as Laban. And you see that as Jacob comes here, you don't see Jacob coming and praying to the Lord, help me to find the wife that you want me to have when he comes into Haran. Instead, his eyes meet this beautiful woman, and immediately he desires her. Laban tricked him into taking Leah. But if you look at Leah, bore 6 sons and a daughter that we're aware of. As you read later on in Scripture, there were other daughters born to Jacob. So in all likelihood, they were born, could have been born of Leah, because it appears that the only children that Rachel had would have been Joseph and Benjamin. Otherwise, there's no indication that there were any other children by her. So it would have been either by Leah or by the secondary wives, which were their servants, that these other daughters came. But it's recorded in Genesis, which we'll also see later on, that it talks about the sons and daughters of Jacob when he goes into Egypt to escape the drought. It says that he took his sons and daughters, plural. So we know that Dinah was one daughter that is named, but there were other daughters. As you look at this, it's very interesting. You say, well, what is the deal with these handmaids? Well, this was custom. Remember, Abraham fell into this same trap with his wife, Sarah. where she was barren and couldn't bear a child. And so she gave her handmaid to Abraham that she would become the surrogate mother, if you would, to the child that would be Sarah and Abraham's, but it wouldn't be Sarah and Abraham's. It was Hagar and Abraham's. But that was the custom of the culture of that time. To us today, it seems horrific that we would think of this, although the world around us wouldn't think it so horrific with everything that's going on with the family and how it's been destroyed. But going back to Genesis chapter 1, we know that God's plan from the beginning was one man for one woman to establish a family within that relationship, and that was to be for life. As you look at Laban, and you understand that Laban was not a true believer in the Lord. And Laban would have been influenced to a large degree by the culture around him. It's interesting that he gives his daughters as a gift for their wedding, each one of them a maid. And part of that would have been the culture around them, because if his daughters wouldn't be able to bear children, then their maids could bear the children for them. That was, I believe, what Laban's thinking was and what the culture would have said. And that's why these women had a maid, not only to help them, but for that reason. So Rachel, her mindset would have been, I can't bear a child, and so I will give my husband my maid, because that's what the culture says. That's what my dad gave her to me for, and so I'm going to give her so that she can bear her child upon my lap. Now, whether she physically bore the child and Rachel was the one there to catch the child when it was being born, I don't know, but it probably could have been part of the cultural thing that went on as well. But we see, first of all, let's look at Leah. Leah, it says, was in verse 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. Now, the word hated here is not hated in the Jacob despised her, loathed her. That is not the concept. The concept is he loved Rachel, and Leah was Leah. He didn't love her with the burning passion that he had for her sister. And so in that sense, she was hated, but she was less liked than her sister. But how would you feel if you were Leah and you were the one that was given to Jacob by your father, and then your sister, was he desired her so much that he spent another 7 years earning the right to marry her? And you could see this passion that he had for her, and this really not disdain, but just lack of affection that he has for you. Where does she go with this? She doesn't go to her father. She doesn't even go to Jacob and complain. Instead, she goes to the Lord. And it's interesting to look at the character of Leah, because she's constantly going to the Lord, and you can see when the Lord gives her children, that the names that she gives to her children are very interesting and very telling. Let's begin to look at what happens. She goes to the Lord, and the Lord opens her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, the scriptures tell us that God, in his wisdom and in his decision, gives children and chooses to withhold children. We see here in these two young women's lives, he's chosen to open the womb of Leah and close the womb of Rachel. We also know that, for example, Sarah's womb was closed until the time that the Lord opened it, when it was a time that only God could have resulted in the son of promise. We know that Rebekah was having a hard time conceiving, and Isaac interceded on her behalf that she would bear children, and she did. It doesn't say here that Jacob interceded on the behalf of either of his wives. But Leah cried out to the Lord. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. What does Reuben mean? Reuben means, behold a son. In the culture of this time, sons were extremely important. Sons passed the name on. The sons were the ones that the blessing and the birthright were given to, because they were to become the ones that would lead the family in the next generation. Sons were extremely important, as they were to be the heads of the home, giving the spiritual direction to the home. And so when a son came, it was important. Now, we also know that God loves daughters, and there was a nation of Israel comes into the land, that Caleb didn't have a son. He had a daughter. And the Lord blessed, she asked for a blessing, and she was given a blessing, and a special blessing by Caleb, her father, when they came into the land. So God doesn't play favorites with sons and daughters, but the culture at this time and the way that God had established it would be passed from generation to generation, and families, the head of the family was a son, was a man. And we see that a son was important. So when Leah bore a son, she said, behold, a son. God has heard and answered my prayer, and she named him that. So that every time she called Reuben, she'd be saying, behold, a son, to remind Jacob she had bore a son for him. And she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Can you imagine her just have to say that? That now my husband will look on me and love me because I bore him a child. I bore him a son. And she conceived again, and she bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Simeon means hearing. And so she is looking at the fact that God is hearing her prayers, and she is calling out to the Lord. And so she names her second son Simeon, in reflection of the fact God hears. The first is God heard and answered by giving a son. The second, God is hearing. And the third, she says, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Levi means to be attached or to be joined. And so she named Levi attachment or joined to. And she felt that now I've given Jacob three sons, now I will be his wife. And then she conceives again, and she bore a fourth son, and it's interesting what she names him, Judah. Judah means praise. Now it's interesting. Behold a son, the Lord is hearing, God has given me attachment, or joined to me, and I am praising the Lord. That is the spirit of Leah. A lot of people look down on Leah. But I want you to take a look at her sister Rachel. We're not going to see everything about Rachel tonight, because we're going to see some of it later on, as far as her character. But the first thing that Rachel does, she doesn't cry out to the Lord. Instead, she strikes out at Jacob. And she sees Rachel, her Leah, her sister, has got four sons, and she has no children. And instead of crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, please, give me a child. Instead of that, she strikes out at Jacob. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. And we see that envy enters into her heart, and envy also can become a root of bitterness and anger. And so she envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Well, could Jacob give her children? Jacob could no more cause Rachel to conceive. He could have relationships with her that could result in her having children, but she was the one that evidently was having trouble bearing because he had bore four sons by her sister, so it wasn't him that was impotent. It was Rachel that was unable to bear. And instead, she blamed Jacob and struck out at him. And what was Jacob's response? He responded in anger, was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And Jacob stated exactly where the matter lay. The Lord had withheld her from bearing children. It wasn't him. And the thing is, this whole situation and all these relationships, and you think, well, these two sisters, they're sisters. They grew up in the same home. They should have sisterly affection. But God didn't intend that two women should share the same man. And it created a lot of problems and a lot of tension in this home. And we see that this tension became extremely great, and it resulted in a lot of strife occurring between Rachel and Jacob, and earlier between Leah and Rachel, and still occurring from Rachel to Leah. And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may have children by her." And so Rachel, instead of going to the Lord and praying, turns to what the world's solution is. And that is, take my maid and bear children by her and they will be my children. Her maid bears two children. And it's interesting the names that Rachel gives to these children. Rachel names the children because she views them as hers even though they're bore by her maid. The first one she calls Dan. And it's interesting what Dan means. Dan means justice or judged. And she viewed that this was justice because now she finally had a son too, albeit by her maid. And so she, instead of crying out to the Lord and asking God to intercede on her need, she takes it upon herself and says, that's justice. Well, the second son that she bears, she calls his name Naphtali, which means wrestling. And that's an interesting name too. Wrestling. Now, it's not because she was wrestling with God. It's because she was wrestling with her sister. And you see that Rachel's perspective is totally upon herself, her situation, her sister, and her situation, and the conflict that's there. And never do you see Rachel looking to the Lord. You don't see Rachel crying out, thank you to the Lord for giving me a son. You don't see Rachel, even in the names, dealing with it from that perspective. Instead, she says, I've got justice because I'm the one that he loved, and now I've got a son, albeit by my maid, and I am wrestling, and I'm going to be done wrestling with my sister because I'm going to gain my husband back again. Well, Leah, oftentimes like we can do, slips into the way the world does things. And sometimes we can fall because we begin to doubt whether God is powerful enough to deal with the situation. She thinks that I'm beyond the age of bearing because I bore these four sons in relatively rapid order, probably four boys born in about 6 years, and then nothing. And then these two boys come by Rachel's handmaid, so you've got six boys probably born in 6 or 8 years time frame, relatively quick. And Leah thinks, well, the only way I'm going to keep Jacob's love, because my sister is wrestling it away from me, is to give him my handmaid that he may bear children by her. She gives him her handmaid, and so... It says here that Leah saw that she had left bearing, and she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. Gad means, the meaning of Gad is a fortune, or it is a blessing that has occurred to me. Because she saw, now I've got another son. And it's almost like it's becoming a contest between these two women who can have more sons, because the one that has the most sons is going to gain the love of their husband. And then her handmaid Bill has a second son, and she names him, calls him Happy, that's what his name means. She calls him Asher, and Asher means happy or joyful. And so she is joyful and happy, and she feels fortunate and blessed because she has these more sons. Just look at the names that they give. Leah, justice, wrestling. All the things that, Rachel, justice and wrestling. But all of the names that Leah gives deal with attitudes of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, albeit the last two boys were born not in the way that God would want them to be born. Then Leah bears two more sons. And they are Issachar and Zebulun. Issachar means reward. And Leah says, this is God's way of rewarding me, and that the Lord is faithful, and he's rewarding me by giving me another son, which is going to be her fifth son that she has born. And then he gives her a sixth son, and his name is Zebulun, which means dwelling. And now she says, I shall really dwell in the house of my husband because I have given him these six sons. The Lord then, it says in verse 23, or verse 22, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. It's interesting that it sounds like Rachel finally got around to calling on the name of the Lord. Prior to that, she'd been trying to do things in her own wisdom and strength. And in verse 22, it says that the Lord hearkened unto her and she remembered her. He opened her womb and she conceived and bare a son. And she said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And the name Joseph means to be taken away, but it also means that I may be able. And so, in other words, she's taken away my reproach that I may be able to bear another son. And that's what she saw. Now, she didn't bear her second son for a while yet, and it's not in this text, but her next son will be born, and that's Benjamin. And we'll be studying about that in a couple weeks. But Rachel does finally have her son. But as you're just looking at this and just looking at a couple things, first of all, Leah's third son is Levi. The tribe of Levi, the descendants of Levi, became the priestly tribe. They became the priests of Israel. The descendants of the tribe of Levi, when the rest of the nation was rising up in rebellion, and Moses called, who was also a descendant of Levi, called out, who will stand with the Lord? Who will come and stand with me and with the Lord? It was the tribe of Levi that joined him. And God blessed them, even though Levi had been cursed, the tribe of Levi had been cursed earlier because of some things that their father Levi had done. But the thing is, God blessed them. And so out of the union of Jacob and Leah comes Levi, all the priestly tribe of Israel. Also out of Jacob and Leah comes Judah, through whom the descendants, the kings of Israel, came, and ultimately the King of Kings would come. And so we see that God blessed Leah in a special way. And I believe a lot of it was because of her faith in the Lord. And I believe that she trusted in God and had a relationship with the Lord in a way that her sister didn't. You don't see that Leah was enamored with the world the way her sister was. She wasn't enamored with false gods the way her sister was. She wasn't desirous of things to be done in a worldly fashion the way that her sister was. And yet, oftentimes people overlook Leah. The thing is, God, in spite of us, will accomplish his purposes through us. My account of Jacob in this whole thing is that Jacob was not being real spiritual, even though he had encountered Jesus on the way to meet his uncle Laban and his cousins who were going to end up being his wives. Yet, Jacob wasn't, you don't see Jacob calling on the Lord, interceding for his wives, interceding even, as I said before, who do I marry? Not interceding in any of this. You don't see Jacob doing that. We're going to see God gets Jacob's attention that he needs to do that later on as well. But here, Jacob shows himself spiritually not very strong at this point in his life. Not giving spiritual direction to his wives and not really understanding who was the real spiritual wife that he had, because it says that he showed less love to Leah than he did Rachel, when really she was stronger spiritually than her sister. So, and in closing, just want to see that God also resulted in all 12 of these, 11 of these, and then Benjamin would come later on. These 12 boys, they would become the tribe of Israel, the chosen of God. Their descendants, all of their descendants, are the Jewish people today. And we see that God didn't, he blessed the tribe of Levi and Judah, and he gave them special positions and blessings, but yet the whole tribe received the blessing and the promise that came through Abraham, Isaac, and their father Jacob. And so God, in spite of the ill decisions of their mothers and father, God blessed them, and God fulfilled his promises in spite of their sin. And God does that in our lives, in that he forgives us and still fulfills his promises through us in spite of who we are, because of who he is, and his word is faithful and true. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this, help us to apply these truths to our life, and help us to see that you see things differently than we do. You understood the heart of these two girls, these two women. You knew the heart of Leah. You knew the heart of Rachel. And Father, even though Rachel was much more beautiful on the outside, Leah had great beauty on the inside. And Lord, you've called us to always be beautiful from the inside out, to reflect your character and to show forth your beauty. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn the lessons that we need to from this teaching tonight. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.